It's time to talk about the crew. Brought to you by Pool Park in Menominee Falls. Pool Park, a family-owned business that's been around since 1964. Specializes in above-ground and semi-in-ground pools, hot tubs, water care, and pool service and maintenance. Plus, get 5% off cleaning supplies if you're wearing your favorite crew apparel. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. See Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie using other side of the glass. And the news happening just before we went to break. Dallas Keuchel traded to the Milwaukee Brewers for, according to reports, cash considerations. So joining us now to talk about Mr. Keuchel, he is Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dillard Tim. Thanks for coming on, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I was. We were talking some Packers. I was playing some audio from Stacey Dales of the NFL Network, and my producer, Chicago Charlie's like, they just traded for Dallas Keuchel. I immediately thought somebody's account got hacked. I'm like, well, that can't be right. Look at it again. And he looked, and no, it really is Dallas Keuchel. You look at his major league numbers from the last couple of years. Not great. Hasn't pitched in the bigs this year, but down at AAA at Tacoma and the PCL, he has a sub-4 ERA and a winning record at this point. So twice as many strikeouts to walks, which is positive as well. The most games he's pitched down at AAA since like 2012, I want to say. So obviously trying to rejuvenate and kind of get his career back on the right path. To me, originally I thought, what are we doing? But then after you realize his cash considerations, you know, if it works out, it's great. If it doesn't really cost you a prospect or anything like that, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a chance on a lefty that's had some success, honestly. I mean, you look at what they tried to do to start the season, Wade Miley, and then you got an Ashby, fallback Gasser, D.L. Hall you trade for. All of these guys, you know, are not in the big leagues right now pitching. So clearly, at some point, they decided they wanted a left-handed starter. They haven't been able to get a consistent one this season. So what do? You go find a guy that's proven. Hey, if he's healthy, more power to it. And you're right. If it's a low-risk move, I think. But I think it's a necessary move because I feel like they need some guys in the starting rotation that are going to be able to eat some innings. I think that's what's going to save this amazing bullpen down the stretch.
You know, obviously the guy that I think probably falls out of this rotation with him coming would probably be Carlos Rodriguez, who could probably use some more time maybe down in the minors. Talk about how he's looked at this point and maybe what he needs to work on.
Well, I think it's just a shock and awe of the big leagues. The stuff you were getting away with in AAA is not always going to play in the big leagues. So what do? You make adjustments, but I think they got a fair assessment. I think they got enough data to be like, okay, here's some things you need to work on, if that's the move. Who knows what they have in store every time you think they're going to zig or zag. So unless you want to be the GM. And then when you're the GM or vice president sultan of the team, then you can do whatever you want. But it's all speculation. But that's probably, you know, a fair assessment of what could happen. But listen, Tacoma is no joke. That's a hard place to pitch. It's a hard travel league in the PCL. And you have a guy that's been around and proven, if he's able to eat some innings and, you know, keep walks off the board, occasionally punch out a guy, but can give you six innings, hey, with this defense and this offense, that plays big.
You know, the one thing I guess I've always kind of wondered how it works is, you know, when you've got a guy that's been in the big leagues for as long as he has, and yeah, he's had his struggles or whatever, and that's what led him to the minors with Seattle, is when he's down there and you've got all these guys that are, you know, trying to get up to the show, you have that guy that's been at the show, but he's kind of trying to rejuvenate himself. Is that minor league thing kind of a blessing in disguise, where kind of where there really aren't as many distractions maybe, and you can kind of really focus on getting yourself right without having to the fields of the big leagues?
I would say, I mean, sure, I think that could work. In certain situations, when you have a guy that's older, I think about 2007, R.A. Dickey, we were teammates at AAA Nashville Sounds for the Brewers, knuckleballer. He's trying to figure out the knuckleball, trying to get back to the big leagues, and he thought this was kind of his last hurrah. So So in AAA, he was he really brought on that mentor role. He was helping guys. He had so much experience. He had so many amazing teammates that he learned from. So all of a sudden, he starts teaching this craft, and suddenly his craft got better. It was a side effect of, you know, just being like, okay, I'm willing to let this go. I have the right attitude in AAA, and I'm starting to share my wisdom stage of life. That may be where he is, and the side effect is literally getting better at baseball. So, I mean, this could be something really big. And you know what? He's a guy that's been around, and you don't make moves like this unless you talk and see, okay, what kind of teammate is he? Is he going to gel with what we got going in the clubhouse? I guarantee they did their research, and all signs pointed to, you know, maybe an ace in the hole that nobody was thinking.
Talk with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. As we get closer to the trade deadline, we're still about a month and a half away, but now we're at the point where stories are being written, right? Jeff Passan on ESPN writes a story talking about the perfect scenarios and fits for different teams. For the Brewers, he has Jack Flaherty, the former Cardinals pitcher, now with the Tigers as that fit. How big of a distraction does that become now here for the next month or so in clubhouses when people are wanting to start talking about trades and blowing up teams and teams adding players and so forth?
It's only a distraction if you let it become a distraction. I don't think Murphy's the kind of guy that wants his clubhouse distracted by that. You look at the leaders in the clubhouse, what you hear Yelich every time he's, you know, talking about the clubhouse, it's like they're just focused on today. And honestly, a lot of guys, you know, maybe they look at the headlines or they read some of the stuff, but, I mean, this is clickbait for us. That's all it is. It's talking points for us because we don't know what's going to happen. And what seems like a good idea, there's so much else behind it. I mean, you can think back to trades where people are hugging each other like, hey, I'm being traded. It's like, okay, well, something happened, and now you're not being traded. Right? That stuff happens all the time. So I think players are smart enough now to know that this is who knows what's going to happen. So why even look at it? Why even entertain it, really?
Yeah, and I totally understand that. It's fun. You're right, from a sports talk perspective and from a fan perspective. Everybody's trying to put together that one or two pieces that, you know, puts the Brewers in that position to compete for a World Series and do what they have to do. We were talking about this yesterday, about just all the feel-good stories on this team. And we were talking about Brian Hudson, Tim. And there was a piece, again, I go back to ESPN, and they use whatever advanced stat metrics or whatever else. And they've got Hudson and Joey Ortiz 1-2 in NL Rookie of the Year. They've got Brian Hudson as second in Reliever of the Year in Major League Baseball. They have him 10th in Cy Young based on numbers. That is just an amazing thing to think about, that, you know, nobody really knew who he was necessarily from a fan perspective coming into this year and how well he's pitched at this level so far.
Well, I always say what one man gathers, what another man spills. For whatever reason, he couldn't crack the Dodgers. And what can the Brewers offer? They can offer opportunity, especially the bullpen. They've done so well with the bullpen over the years of just guiding guys. But really, he just needed a chance, and he took off with it. And, you know, the Brewers really only had maybe one or two long guys last year, but suddenly the way the starting rotation has, you know, happened, all of a sudden, you need multi-inning guys at the bullpen. So maybe that wasn't his role that he had in mind when he got to spring training, but he's able to get lefties and righties out, and he can do it in two-inning clips, the most two-inning, you know, that are the most important of the entire game. And now suddenly he's doing it at a rate where everybody's starting to take notice. And listen, just because he's not a closer and not a starter doesn't mean this guy shouldn't be an all-star. I get that that's not cool. There's, you know, it's very rare for a middle reliever to be an all-star, but he should absolutely be an all-star. Otherwise, you're just sending a wave of going, okay, this guy is not good enough to be on the all-star team because of his role. That is not cool. Like, that basically just takes a whole genre of relievers and saying you have no chance to ever reach these marks. And so now you're going to have these relievers only clamoring for, I want to be a starter or a closer. But there's room in baseball for everybody. And I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, relievers are players too. You know, they're people too.
Yeah, they're people too, but they get screwed, man. I mean, if we go back to that Josh Hader story that came out, I don't know, a month or two ago from the guy that was his agent or whatever, talking about when they went to arbitration and the Brewers pretty much used against him that he didn't have the save metric, even though he was doing everything they asked him to do. he kind of screwed himself on money at that point, or screwed himself out of money at that point.
He really brought on that mentor role. He was helping guys. He had so much experience. He had so many amazing teammates that he learned from. So all of a sudden, he starts teaching this craft, and suddenly his craft got better. It was a side effect of, you know, just being like, okay, I'm willing to let this go. I have the right attitude in AAA, and I'm starting to share my wisdom stage of life. That may be where he is, and the side effect is literally getting better at baseball. So, I mean, this could be something really big. And you know what? He's a guy that's been around, and you don't make moves like this unless you talk and see, okay, what kind of teammate is he? Is he going to gel with what we got going in the clubhouse? I guarantee they did their research, and all signs pointed to, you know, maybe an ace in the hole that nobody was thinking.
Talk with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. As we get closer to the trade deadline, we're still about a month and a half away, but now we're at the point where stories are being written, right? Jeff Passan on ESPN writes a story talking about the perfect scenarios and fits for different teams. For the Brewers, he has Jack Flaherty, the former Cardinals pitcher, now with the Tigers, as that fit. How big of a distraction does that become now here for the next month or so in clubhouses when people are wanting to start talking about trades and blowing up teams and teams adding players and so forth?
It's only a distraction if you let it become a distraction. I don't think Murphy's the kind of guy that wants his clubhouse distracted by that. You look at the leaders in the clubhouse, what you hear Yelich every time he's, you know, talking about the clubhouse, it's like they're just focused on today. And honestly, a lot of guys, you know, maybe they look at the headlines or they read some of the stuff, but, I mean, this is clickbait for us. That's all it is. It's talking points for us because we don't know what's going to happen. And what seems like a good idea, there's so much else behind it. I mean, you can think back to trades where people are hugging each other like, hey, I'm being traded. It's like, okay, well, something happened, and now you're not being traded. Right? That stuff happens all the time. So I think players are smart enough now to know that this is who knows what's going to happen. So why even look at it? Why even entertain it, really?
Yeah, and I totally understand that. It's fun. You're right, from a sports talk perspective and from a fan perspective. Everybody's trying to put together that one or two pieces that, you know, puts the Brewers in that position to compete for a World Series and do what they have to do. We were talking about this yesterday, about just all the feel-good stories on this team, and we were talking about Brian Hudson, Tim, and there was a piece, again, I go back to ESPN, and they use whatever advanced stat metrics or whatever else. And they've got Hudson and Joey Ortiz 1-2 in NL Rookie of the Year. They've got Brian Hudson as second in Reliever of the Year in Major League Baseball. They have him 10th in Cy Young based on numbers. That is just an amazing thing to think about, that, you know, nobody really knew who he was necessarily from a fan perspective coming into this year and how well he's pitched at this level so far.
Well, I always say what one man gathers, what another man spills. For whatever reason, he couldn't crack the Dodgers. And what can the Brewers offer? They can offer opportunity, especially the bullpen. They've done so well with the bullpen over the years of just guiding guys. But really, he just needed a chance, and he took off with it. And, you know, the Brewers really only had maybe one or two long guys last year, but suddenly the way the starting rotation has, you know, happened, all of a sudden, you need multi-inning guys out of the bullpen. So maybe that wasn't his role that he had in mind when he got to spring training, but he's able to get lefties and righties out, and he can do it in two-inning clips, the most two-inning, you know, that are the most important of the entire game. And now suddenly he's doing it at a rate where everybody's starting to take notice. And listen, just because he's not a closer and not a starter doesn't mean this guy shouldn't be an all-star. I get that that's not cool. There's, you know, it's very rare for a middle reliever to be an all-star, but he should absolutely be an all-star. Otherwise, you're just sending a wave of going, okay, this guy is not good enough to be on the all-star team because of his role. That is not cool. Like, that basically just takes a whole genre of relievers and saying you have no chance to ever reach these marks. And so now you're going to have these relievers only clamoring for, I want to be a starter or a closer. But there's room in baseball for everybody. And I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Relievers are players too. You know, they're people too.
Yeah, they're people too, but they get screwed, man. I mean, if we go back to that Josh Hader story that came out, I don't know, a month or two ago from the guy that was his agent or whatever, talking about when they went to arbitration, And the Brewers pretty much used against him that he didn't have the save metric, even though he was doing everything they asked him to do. He kind of screwed himself on money at that point, or screwed himself out of money at that point. And I just wonder, you know, if Hudson kind of goes through the same thing and it happens to him, whether or not he's going to kind of go down the same wave of thinking as far as, dude, I'm not doing this anymore if you're not going to pay me.
Well, it's almost like if I'm in a role that has no chance of getting being an all-star, I'm in a role that has no chance of getting paid, then suddenly you're just, I mean, then you're like, I just want to be a closer. Well, you can only have 30 of those. And then it's, okay, well, I'm going to be this high-energy, you know, eighth-inning guy. Maybe I got a shot there. We saw Devin Williams be that guy. That's pretty rare as well. So, to me, MLB needs to step in with some of this kind of stuff and bring that more to the forefront, especially in a day and age where, I mean, look at complete games, way down. Quality starts way down over the last 10 years. You're not getting rewarded for going deep in ball games because you have these relievers. Now you're not celebrating these relievers. It's kind of a lose-lose situation for the reliever. And then when you screw up, it's all on you, bud, and everybody blames you. It's like that lonesome kicker.
Yeah, you're on an island, and it's either you survive or you don't. And if you don't, then, you know, how much support do you really get from those around you in that moment in time? Tim, thank you so much for coming on, buddy. We will talk again next Tuesday. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Sparky.
Take care. There he is, Tim Dillard, Valley Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tiller. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM The Fan.